everyone. Welcome back to another episode of TAM Tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please do not forget to subscribe, like, share, comment, all of that. You know, we've been working on this for a while. We are up to episode 13 now. Am I right? Is this 13? I believe this is 13. I could be wrong. It could be 12. Look, things happen. My bad. But didn't have a show last week because we remodeled my grandma's backyard for Mother's Day as a gift. Maybe I will share some pictures. I don't know. But that's why we didn't have a show last week. And kind of, I wasn't too sad because I wanted to wait because Kalani's album came out on the 8th. So we'll be covering all that today on this show. But first, you know, we always have to start with politics. And this week in politics, there's a lot going on. But we don't have time to cover it all because we got a ton of music. But first thing I want to talk about is this hashtag cancel rent. It's more of the corona news. I know I'm tired of it, but look, it is what it is because that's the new, like, spirit we live in now. This is the new time. This is the time of corona that we're living in. And I've seen a lot of activists. I saw, like, a Vice episode. I've seen some things, like, randomly online about people trying to get out the word and just make it happen for canceling rent, like other countries have done, namely Italy, canceling rent and mortgage. I think that this is something that would have gone over pretty much without a hitch. Like, it would have caused problems, of course, controversy, like everything else, like even the $1,200 that they gave out. But I think this would have gone over, like, less deaf ears, if that's, like, a way I can say it, if that makes sense. Because our current president, who I do not like to acknowledge, he is a real estate magnate. And all of his friends are as well. All of the money, all of the glamorous, luxurious things that he has in life are off the backs of people like you and I paying, you know, to rent or lease one of his spaces, or as a business owner, leasing out one of his spaces in his fancier things, you know, like in New York, Mar-a-Lago, stuff like that. He has, his bread and butter is collecting rent. So, and all of his friends too, like even down to his, you know, glowing, gonna give peace in the Middle East, gonna cure cancer, stop hunger, Jared Kushner. Also, his parents make all their money off of real estate. So it's like, it's very hard for this family and this group of people to come to terms with the fact that the thing that they have been living off of their whole lives, and maybe their parents before them, right now we just need to put it on hold because that's what's right and that's what's fair. I do not see it happening. Even though I feel like it's one of the sole things that could stop this unemployment and this pandemic to going into a worse depression, like worse than 2008, worse than we've seen in my lifetime, depression, is that just canceling rent and canceling mortgage, it would give families and the working people outside of the banks that you bailed out last time, it would give them a lot more security and stability in their day-to-day lives. People may not have even needed the stimulus if you had just taken off that burden for them, because a lot of people in this time, especially living in the metropolitan areas, are paying like 60% or more to their rent. So it's like, if you just cut that off, it only makes sense that everything else will be okay. But people don't want to do that for the things I mentioned before. And if you just want to get a little more on this, because I'm not a person that's like down with the conspiracy theory. I don't like hearsay. I don't like gossip and stuff like that when it comes to politics and when it comes to things that are really affecting our lives. I was always taught that, you know, you go to the source. So I would like for you all, because I know everybody's not a reader. People don't like it. It's very mundane. It's very boring. It's time consuming as well. To go check out the show Dirty Money. It's on Netflix. And I want to get this right. Season 2, Episode 3, called Slum Lord Millionaire. And it's about Jared Kushner and his family. I prefer the term Junkyard Jared because after you watch the episode, you'll understand. Just the poverty, the, like, slumlord is not the word. It's just disgusting. And for this person to, like, live so high on the hog and feign morality and all these things and write in religious papers how he and his wife observe Shabbat and all these things that we know are not true. It's like, it just puts it up in your face. Even to the fact of people know what's up with Trump, but they like the celebrity and they like the glamour of it. Like, all rich people aren't cool. They want that cool power. They want to be on the red carpet. They want to be famous as well. They don't just want to be rich. They want to be well known. So it just shows how insidious and how nasty and how just greedy it all is. Do not forget, Dirty Money, Netflix, Season 2, Episode 3, Slumdog Millionaire. I added the Lord because that's what he is. He's a slumlord. His family, same thing. And Ivanka tries to be fake female empowerment, think I care about the children, all that. Not when you buying your Chanel and your Hermes off the backs of poor people, putting poor people in jail because they can't pay their rent. Like, disgusting is not the word. On from that, because what can we do? I think that in America, we should get cancel rent trending every day on Twitter. Forget these celebrities for a little while. Forget the TikTok dances. Cancel rent and mortgage. Make that viral. Next. Now we're going to go to something that's a little bit somber. And it's very sad. I do not like to have to talk about these kind of things because I'm very passionate about it. And it makes me feel a way. Like, there's no better way to say it than it makes me feel a way. It really, really bothers me. It really makes me uncomfortable. It really makes me want to do something. It really makes me want to, like, lay hands. Ahmaud Arbery, young man, promising bright future, taking a jog in his neighborhood. Clearly, it's his neighborhood because as a black person, I'm just going to speak from experience. I don't know all black people in the world. I know we're not monolithic. But I'm not about to drive my car nowhere to no other neighborhood to get out and run. That don't even seem smart. It doesn't even compute in my mind. So definitely his neighborhood or within running jogging distance of where he resides. There's an abandoned house. I'm sure many of you seen it. It's like a construction site type thing. And because of Corona, I guess, ain't nothing going on. He's a guy. You know, I'm not trying to make excuses, but a little bit more curious than the average girl. Walks up, maybe wants to look around. I don't know, he never seen the bones of a house before. Who wouldn't be interested? He walked up. Owner of the house, to be constructed house, has come out and said, and nothing was stolen from the construction site, so I don't see where there was any basis for a citizen's arrest. This ex-investigator for the DA and his son, and there's a third person in the vehicle that hasn't been mentioned, or maybe it was, because like I said, I don't like to keep up with stuff like this because it's very upsetting to me. Anyways, this man sees him out running, jogging, not running like he stole something, jogging. Proceeds to call the police and says something along the lines of, I know this kid shouldn't be in my neighborhood, whoop, 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 I'm about to do something, I'm about to arrest him. First of all, never in a black person's life have they decided that they seen somebody doing something wrong, that they were going to take it upon themselves to handle the arrest. Citizen arrest style. I thought that was called being a vigilante. Whatever. Especially seeing that this man is formerly employed by the law enforcement. Like, once you shirk those duties and you retire and you leave that alone, you need to leave that where it's at. Because you're not retired. You're not grandpa cop. You're not the cop next door. You're not. You retired. You left the badge. You left the outfit. You leave all of that ideology as well. You're not in charge of anybody out here. You're not policing anybody out here. You don't run anything out here. You are no longer an officer of the law. Leave it there. Enjoy your retirement, that pension that all of us paid into. Get a motorcycle. Visit your grandkids. Get a hobby. But the police work is done. You left that back at the station. This man clearly did not understand that, took it upon himself to try to do something to young Ahmaud. In the video that I saw, again, don't know all the facts and all the details. Unlike that guy, I'm not an investigator. He proceeds to try to put hands on him. And Ahmaud is young, agile, probably lift weights a little bit. Obviously, he was jogging. Is getting with this old man. Can't handle it. The son or the person in the vehicle, because I'm not going to say who's who, chooses to shoot in the back. More than once, this individual. Why? First of all, why you got a shotgun going to arrest somebody and you're not a cop? Now, I know in the South people have open carry and things may sometimes go awry, but why you got your gun out? He can't kill him with his bare hands. They're saying that they did this in self-defense. That's their excuse, and that's why it took over 70 days for them to be arrested. It was in self-defense. Two DAs threw this out. Bullshit, utter, complete, 100% about this story, about this case, about this kid. Everything. Trying to make it, and they always want to make it seem like we deserved it. Like we were in the, we needed, oh, the world is a safer place now that we're dead. No, you're wrong. And you know that you're wrong because I've grown up in white neighborhoods and I know any parent on any of the blocks I grew up would be hot damn if their son vandalizing, stealing, in somebody's house they're not supposed to be in, flat out just a fuck up, anything happens. A hair on his head could not be touched. A little blonde, blue-eyed, a brown hair, red hair, a little white. No, never, no matter what he's doing. So the fact that these people saw him and viewed him that his life is so meaningless and that he could not possibly be doing anything of substance in their neighborhood, that they get to take his life. That alone shows you how deep and how horrible and how ingrained it is that Black people equate to criminality, of Black people equate to worthlessness. Black people are not worthy of like human treatment, human decency, all of the things that people in America, our ancestors included, fought and bled for this to be the fake land of the free, home of the brave. No. Genocide, that's what this is. I'm hearing a lot of people on the internet, I'm seeing, and I'm glad people are using the right term now. This is slow American, if it's not the government, it's definitely the police. State to state, coast to coast, they're definitely on the same page that we're enemy number one and that we can be done away with, disregarded, killed, snuffed out our life with impunity. We don't even need to arrest him because we know that he was doing something wrong. It's so sad. And it's like, even though you don't know the person, it just hurts my feelings that this can continue to go on. We live in 2020. Like, I watched the We Shall Overcome documentaries and all that in elementary school and seeing Black people get hosed down and getting bit by dogs and getting lynched. I read The Red Record by Ida B. Wells. Like, I thought that that shit was done, but it is not. And now I have to deal with the fact that in my time, even though I've been raised up around people of all colors, we all watch MTV and Disney Channel and everybody likes rap and everybody knows who Lil Wayne and all this stuff. Still, my Black life, the life of my brother, the life of my uncle, the life of the son that I don't have yet because I'm fucking scared out of my mind, is worthless to America. Genocide is what this is. An American pastime at this point. Because the perps go out and do it. The handful of brave white men that go do it, that don't care. And then everybody watches it. Everybody tweets it. Everybody shares it. The political panderers go and try to make money off of it. The Sean Kings of the world and all these people bolster themselves up with it. The lawyers that try to get the family to take a deal or to sue the police, that everybody's making money off of it. And all of us have to sit back and watch. And I know that a lot of people feel like, even myself included sometimes, I don't live there. I don't know him. It didn't happen to me. It happens all the time. What can we do? We're all spectators. And the way I was raised in my house, you watch something like that happen, something, an atrocity. You watch someone get beat, bullied, disrespected, and you don't do anything. You are an accessory to that crime. You are as guilty as the person doing it because you chose not to stand up. You chose not to do anything. You chose not to get an adult. You chose not to tell someone. You chose not to call the police. Martin Luther King even said it himself, all that takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And that's what all of us do. We are all complicit in doing nothing. I'm 27 now. I can't even go through the list of Black men that I've seen slain on my timeline since I was 20 years old. I can't count. I see their faces. I know some of their names. The more famous ones. The ones that went beyond a hashtag a little bit. Maybe got a documentary. Maybe just the story just was ingrained so deeply that they're stuck with me. But there are countless. And it is, sad is not the word. Angry is not the word. Upset is not the word. Because I could not imagine to have to get the call. Or let alone see on the internet my son or my brother or my father or my uncles or my grandfather killed by one of you cowards. And to have to beg and plead and pray on TV and get people to protest, to get something to happen, to get the police who live down our necks so Black people can't stand in front of the store, can't be in our own neighborhood, can't be out front of our own house sometimes, as we saw with the college boy recently, without being accosted by officers of the law claiming to be doing their job, but it seems like their job is only applicable when it comes to people that look like me or darker. Because we saw that nothing happened to those white people that were protesting at City Hall on government property with guns and all types of shit acting crazy. So I can't be in my neighborhood and jog. I can't walk to the store and walk back home. I can't. It is sad. It is sad. And I don't know. We don't have another country this, unfortunately, is all we got. We don't have a Chinese government, an Indian government, to stand up for us when this stuff happens to us in America and say that this is wrong, this can't go on, you're going to have to answer to somebody. We don't. The UN is not prosecuting America for crimes against humanity for not protecting black people. The police, and this is a perfect example of it. DA, let me read their names, because they love to put us up on TV and put our picture and talk about what we did in high school. And if it's a girl, say her baby daddy got arrested. They love to do that, so let's put them up on TV. Let's show the real criminals today. So first up, we got Jackie Johnson, who was the DA who blocked the arrest, claiming self-defense. But she used to work with the perp, got a picture with the perp. So how can you be unbiased in this? I heard that several other DAs had to recuse themselves because they're related somehow or know this person. Disgusting. Jackie Johnson, I'm going to put her phone number up to her office and all that because she needs to resign. She should not be able to judge anybody's crime, persecute anybody's crime, when she does not even have her own personal judgment up to par. Jackie Johnson does not deserve to be a public servant. Jackie Johnson does not deserve to be paid with the people of Georgia's tax dollars to not persecute murderers. Jackie Johnson does not need employment anymore in the state of Georgia, nor another state as a DA. Jackie Johnson needs to go try to be a substitute teacher or something. Then we got the Waycross, Georgia district attorney, George Barnhill, who did the same thing as Jackie, but had the nerve to write a letter talking about all the reasons why this was okay and that it didn't matter. But no, George also needs to retire. He needs to go home. And both of these people, George and Jackie, they need all of their cases that they have presided over, they need to be investigated. Because if they have these type of racist, disgusting ideas, biased ideas and opinions, Lord knows what else they've done to people during their tenure in these positions that they do not deserve and are unfit to occupy. Investigate them immediately, the state of Georgia. And it makes me mad. Like, as a Californian, I don't expect nothing less from the slave states, but you would think in 2020 that they would try to be a little less just in your face with it, that it don't matter. You would think that they would feign respect. You would think that after they killed Martin Luther King and many other of our heroes, you would think that at least down in Georgia, they would want to do something different. They would want to try to keep things a little bit above board. And I know Martin Luther King died in Memphis at the Lorraine Hotel. Please don't come to me with this. I'm talking about the government. It's just, oh, it gets me so angry. It gets me so upset. Y'all, and then it's like, it makes me mad because black people with money don't really do anything either, and there's a lot that they could do. But because we all largely come from poverty, because we all know what's going on, because we all experience the same racism regardless of our socioeconomic status, they're just as scared too. And they don't want to, they feel like they worked hard to get up out the projects or get up out their mama's house or wherever. They don't want to risk going back to help the next person. And that is another reason why black people continue to be treated this way, continue to not be respected, continue to be not even a second class. We're less than a second class citizen in America. And then I saw the president, or whatever they have, I'm not sure, of Ghana, speaking out for the people of Africa that are being abused and targeted, you know, racially in China. And he was saying, you know, this is a plea to the world that this is wrong. Where is that for black people in America? We need some other government, some international arm, or somebody. Malcolm X tried and they killed him too. We need someone to speak to the international community on behalf of black people about what is going on with us and what is happening to us, what is being done to us here in this country by these people that brought us here initially against our will. Something needs to be done. There's been countless studies and recommendations for reparations by these agencies and nothing has been done. America, since I've been alive, I'm young, I don't know everything. Since I've been alive, America has fancied themselves as the world police, as the moral police. I remember being in elementary school, and every day I could not watch the news without them talking about how women were getting treated in the Muslim countries and how it was wrong and it's oppressive and they can't show their faces and all of these things and they can't drive and we're fighting for their rights. What about the rights of black people? Under President Obama, we lost a lot. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 is gone. And look at what has happened to voter suppression and all that shit since then. When their justification was that we're past that as a country and we don't need that anymore. This thing with Byron Allen and the Supreme Court and them trying to take away the basis of discrimination on race, they're going to make it even harder for you to prove this kind of shit. This is an emergency. We are at all alert. If black people had their paramilitary situation, if we had a National Guard, the community would be locked up tighter than this stay-at-home order. Because we're under attack. And it's not just by, it's anybody now. Anybody can deem themselves an officer and take a life of a black person because they feel afraid, they feel scared. It's not even just cops we got to be afraid of. We got to be afraid of retired cops, ex-military. Your uncle might be a DA. We got to be afraid. And that's what makes me mad as a black person, especially living in California where everybody wants to fake like we all get along and it's all hippies and we're all, no. It makes me so angry that white people try to say, oh, no, it's not all of us. And when you say, oh, white people do this and that, and white people are racist and blah, blah, no, you shouldn't say that because I have black friends and all. No, shut up. Because I do not have time. In the words of Malcolm X and the words of Muhammad Ali, I do not have time trying to sort through the snake pit to find out which one's going to bite me or not. I don't have time. You're cool here, Chad, in California. We can hang out. We can smoke weed together. Oh, cool. But your uncle in Georgia shot my cousin. What are we supposed to do about that? How can I be friends with you when you won't say anything to your family members that have these racist ideas and ideology and they teach it to their children? And just because you don't agree, but you won't say anything. White people need to dismantle racism and white supremacy and the suppression of African-American people. Descendants of slaves, fuck that African-American. Y'all need to figure it out. Because you're doing it. We're not doing it to you. We're not afraid of you. No matter all the shit that you've done to us for years since we got to this country. They got post-traumatic slave disorder. They got all types of studies and shit out now that's talking about it's ingrained in our DNA. The fear and the things that you have done to us and the people before us. But you have the nerve to say you're afraid of me. You say you are afraid of... You need to do something about this. It is not our job. It is not our burden. And it is sad that we have nowhere else to go, that we are stuck here with you and have to hope and pray that you have the decency, that you have a soul, that you have an ounce of morality inside you to try to fix it. Because we have nowhere else to go. No other country to call home but this one that we already built. And now we can't stay. You white people need to figure it out because you're never going to have peace. You're never going to have peace. The Indian people prophesy over y'all in this drug epidemic shit. They told you that you treated their people like that and you did what you did and your children will be cursed. And look at it now. Imagine. And that's why I think white people are so scared of black people, because they cannot imagine that they could do everything they've done to us and we don't want to do nothing in return. They're horrified. That's why they don't want us in our neighborhood. That's why they don't want us at the store when they're at the store. That's why when they see us, they immediately want to cross the street. That's why you can't wear this and you can't dress like that and you can't do this and that, because they can't sleep at night knowing of all the dirt that they have done. And think that you don't want payback. Think that you don't want revenge. Because that's what they would do. Think about their history. The Romans, the Greeks, the Vikings. All this blood. Bloodlust. Think about. It's sad because we've been so brainwashed that black people think all of the stereotypes that white people put onto us is who we are. A lot of it is what they gave us to do. Like they love to make the trope about the drunk Indian and all this. Where'd they get it from? So I, as a black woman, I cannot do nothing about the dominant society and what they're going to do with their beliefs and how they treat us and the laws and all that. I can vote the best I can. I can use my money, vote with my dollar the best I can. I can try to protect myself and my family. But for the whole, for the community that we don't have, Black people, I want all of us to start just holding each other a little closer, being a little bit more on top of things, on top of your family, on top of the people that you care about, because it's not safe. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's not safe. My dad drove cross country this week and I was terrified. Because I don't know if he's asleep at a gas station or if he pulled over to take a break or if he stops to pee, anything. Any of you hick, hillbilly, KKK on the weekends cop could take his life. Now you're scared of me. You're scared of my family. Imagine how it feels to be us. And it's just to close it out on the Ahmaud situation. And I think you have to say their names because it gives power. I'm an African spiritual person. I think that you have to acknowledge people by name, all that. This man investigated him in high school, so he knew exactly who he was. Think about that. You trying to bring up the fact that he brought a gun to a basketball game in high school because he had a personal problem with someone as a just a grounds for him being killed. Think about all the white kids that shot up their high school that's still alive right now in jail. Ahmaud's gone. And he didn't even shoot nobody at the basketball court. Dylan Roof alive. Oh boy, that shot up school. They're alive. Ahmaud is gone. His family never gonna see him again. It's kind of summery in California. It's starting to get hot again. And when it gets hot, or just when the weather changes, period, I'm like a weak body. I have a weak constitution. I get sick. I have sinuses, allergy problems, and then my skin like acts up. It doesn't like to change, the sudden changes like that. So I tried out this new product. I really, really like it. It's from Forest Nymphs. I found them on Etsy. They also sell some of their stuff in Whole Foods. That's initially where I saw it. They have this Hebe face soap. I love it because it smells amazing. It has like, if you've ever been to Lush, like the soap bar, and how the handmade soaps like look a little bit more fancy. It has that thing going on. It has like, it might be rose petals kind of on the bottom, like dried. And then on the other side, it has like this salt sugar. I don't know what it is, but it's a like a very, very good and but light exfoliant. And I love that. It's a bar soap. Super simple. Been trying to get away from like a lot of the chemicals and stuff like that on my skin. So I love that this is like a natural vegan company. And they also sent me a little free face scrub. It smells like sugar. It's super, it gets on my lips. It tastes good. I'm not saying that you eat it, but I'm dumb. So check them out, Forest Nymphs on Etsy, and if you have a Whole Foods next to you, go to Whole Foods and tell them Tam from Tam Tonight sent you. Now, we're going to get into my look of the week segment, and this week I got four looks to bring you, and I want to start it out with Baby Junie. Baby Junie is the child of Teyana Taylor, very stylish, and the very talented at basketball, Amon Shumpert. Baby Junie has her own line of clothing out now called Junie B's Clothing. And it's very fun. It's very cute. A little tomboy, but it's like girly too. She has like ladybugs on things. It's so cute. I love it. And I love that it's her own thing because I feel like Junie has such a big personality. And if you follow her family at all on social media, you get to see a little bit of that. So I love it. And Junie, I don't have no baby that I could buy these clothes for and put them on, but I will in the future. So maybe Junie B, you'll still be around and I'm going to come and I'm going to support you. But in the meantime, if my nieces, nephews, friends, kids want some Junie B's clothing, I got you, Junie. Good job, boss, businesswoman. You. Your future is bright, girl. It's so bright. It's blinding me. And the hair and all in the photo shoot was so cute. Junie, you killed it. Next up, we have Tarina Lee. I believe that's her name, but she goes by Princess Tarina Lee on Instagram. If you don't follow her, please follow her because she is just fashion all the time. Like, even during this pandemic, foots have not been taken off necks. She has not let up. I think she was celebrating her birthday in this look. It's a Rick Owens skirt for sure, for sure. The necklace, it's a big five. It could be vintage Chanel. It could be Fendi. Not sure. She didn't give details. And then like a regular wife beater type top cut at the top. She looks bomb. The braids and the swing of the hair and all. It's just fire. She gives me everything I need. It's like, she's who I want to be if I was more glam, but this is who I am, you know? So, we gotta walk in the spirit of who we are. But if I was super glam and I had unlimited money and I was just chilling at the house and I could worry about my looks all day, all the time, me and Serena would be best friends because she's that girl. Next, we have the beautiful Shane Murphy. Shane is the child of Eddie Murphy and Nikki Murphy. Now, at first, I've been loving Eddie Murphy since I was a little kid, but I didn't know he had no kids. I just knew about his gorgeous wife, Nikki. And when they came out with Hollywood Exes, I would watch it because Nikki is like my, like, grown woman goals. I feel like she had all those kids and she's so bad. And it's like, you can't tell what age she is. Like, she gives me hope that, like, I can get old and I can still be bomb. She makes me not feel stressed about getting old because it's a very big deal to me. It keeps me up at night. It's very stressful. But Nikki gives me the power that I feel that I need to, like, age beautifully, age gracefully, and still be fine. So, her prodigy, Shane, is in here walking in that spirit, fine all the time. In a brown side split tube top pretty little thing dress, Fenty glasses, and no shoes because I told you it's summer out here in California and we don't need that. Shane is so cute. She's so down to earth. I feel like if we were like neighbors or something, we would be cool. We would be friends. Never bougie. Never just cute. Clap. Just real California girl. I bet you Shane blows it down with the weed. I bet you she's a good party too. Like, and follow if you don't already because she always serves a look and it's what you need, especially during these dark times. And last but not least, we have Simply C, aka Sierra, in a very comfy and cool comeback as a flower two-piece set. I saw this look and I liked it because, like I said, it's getting hot in California and this is my vibe. Louis Vuitton bag, gold chains and accessories, just perfect hair, perfect. She looks like I'm about to go to the homie's house and chill, or I'm about to hit the grocery store, or maybe hit the nail shop. It's just a kick back, chill look, and that's what we need out here in the summer if we're going to have triple digit heat. And that's that for my look of the week segment. Thank you. All right, now, welcome to my favorite part of the show, 106 in Parking Lot with your host, Tam. This week, we have to talk about the new release by Kalani, It Was Good Until It Wasn't. Now, let me preface this because it's going to be long. I'm going to talk about all the songs. Let me preface this by saying I am a Kalani fan, okay? Since Cloud 19, Kalani is my girl, okay? I love As I Am. I love Get Away. I used to commute and drive to Act a Fool and be turned up in my car, okay? I love First Position. I love Fuck With You, okay? Kehlani and Clyde, Just a Picture with Kyle. I love me some Kehlani. But, and I think Kehlani has, like, flawless execution. Like, a good 90% of the time, her songs are on the money. Like, I've never heard a Kehlani song like, oh, this is whack. Not once. Even if, like, the song wasn't my vibe, never, ever whack. The Calvin Harris duet, the All In, it just, Kalani is that girl. But I want Kalani to keep her business out the goddamn street, okay? Because I feel like she's a little sensitive being, okay? And she be putting it out in the spirit of happiness and togetherness and all that. And then when it don't work out, don't go as planned as life often does. Then she be feeling away because everybody coming at her crazy and talking to them. No. I've been following Kalani on Twitter since she was flying back and forth, going places, sleeping on fans' couch to get her music grind on, to when she had to stop using Twitter because she was getting a little bit too turned up on it. So I am here. I am supportive. So know all this is coming from a loving place. I'm like your cousin, okay? Yo, auntie by marriage. This is coming from a loving place, Kalani. So, love the album. Just flawless album. 15 songs, and I'm going to go through them one by one, and I'll tell you my favorites when I get to it. Toxic. Toxic was a single. Oh, this love is toxic. We know about that. It was a part of, like, how Janae did the diss tape to Big Sean. I think this Toxic was a part of her, like, diss tape to YG. And she had all other songs that we talked about in the show, too. Second song, Can I, featuring Tory Lanez. Bomb, 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 bomb. It's a sample of Can I with Aaliyah. Not really a sample, but it's just Kehlani singing that Can I Stop By. This is Tory Lanez back, so it's a perfect feature for him with the old school, sort of bringing it back to the news, what he does on the Chicks tape, so I love that he's on it. The lyrics are so good. I've listened to the song so many times. I really just had the album on repeat, but the songs that I like. So, Can I is that one. Just Okay. Bad news. Bad news is okay. It's like make you want to give all that shit up, blah, blah, blah. Make you want to spend their time on us. As a person who dated a gangbanger before, it's like, girl, no. Leave that nigga alone. Because he don't want to give it up. He don't come to your house. He gonna chill. Janae Aiko, sound bowls, all that vegan food. And he gonna go back to the street and be ratchet, be himself. Don't save these hoes. They don't want to be saved. Like, leave him out there, girl. Then we got Real Hot Girl skit with Megan Thee Stallion. And I feel like it was a lot of simping going on this. But I'm not going to say nothing because Kalani is, that she's a love girl. But we needed the good evangelist Megan to come in and give us a word, drop some pimp on us, because, like, we need to let these men know, like, it's not a type of party. No. And it was just fire. The hot girl coach, she came, she did what needed to be done. Let them know what's up. Then it goes into, perfectly into, Water. I ain't been this wet in years. Water. I want to undress you. I want to impress you, but I ain't going to press you. Just. And that's one of the reasons why I am just a fan, stan, borderline of Kalani, because her writing is so well. And I know that she writes a lot of her own songs, works with people close to her and that sort of thing. I love that she worked with Nyjah on several of these songs. She worked with one of her close friends as well. I saw on Twitter, he or she was saying that Kalani really pushed them to go to the studio and that they got placement on a couple of the songs. So that's cool too. I feel like Kalani holds her people down. Love that. California girl, it's the only way. We got Change Your Life featuring Janae Aiko. I know that this was a really big deal and a really important feature for Kalani because she probably looked up to Janae in a way as a peer, as an older girl that's like on the same sort of wave that she is, and like the spirits and the astrology and the crystals and all that. Like, they are on that same wave, cut from the same cloth. So I like this song. It's like, to me, a better version of that Bad News song, because it's like, let me change your life. Let me just show you a different way of doing things, and maybe you might be with it or whatever. But still, leave these niggas where they at, Kalani. Leave them where they at, because they don't want to change their life. They do not want to be different. You're trying to put somebody on, don't want to be put on. Let him, girl, pick up your delivery and let him go. Perfect song, a very cute song. And I kind of secretly want Janae Aiko, Kalani, and her to get together and do some type of girl power mixtape song, something, because I feel like all of them have like different sounds, but it's the same sort of vibe. And how that her Janae BS song was super duper good, this Janae and Kalani was super duper good. So I feel like all three together, they could temporarily be Destiny's Child, but like Sailor Moon Destiny's Child, you know what I'm talking about? Like that vibe. And even if y'all don't want to do a project, maybe do a song and then tour together, because it'll be cool. I ain't nobody, whatever. And just the last thing on Change Your Life, she starts it out. And I don't, at first I was going to come at Kalani real foul about this CD, because I felt like these songs were simping to YG, and I'm not here for that whatsoever. Because I, like I said on So She Said, that's a dick drop off, like you said in one of these songs. That's not no man that you want to be your boyfriend. That's not no man that you want to let meet your daughter or your mama. He's just not, okay? YG, you meet him at the club with your homegirls. He gets you in the section. He buys you some bottles. Y'all turn up. You might go to his house after. Don't let him come to yours. And that's it. You leave it at that. That's, YG is a good time, okay? He don't even respect the chick he with that he got all the kids with. Why you think he don't respect you? She been in the game taking the licks. And she ain't getting no respect. What do you think this new? No. No, 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 no. Door-to-door dick salesman. YG. That's it. Now he on the internet fucking making videos trying to poke fun at you, talking about, yeah, I fucked her for the clout. Like, no. You see that? Baby mother can't give these niggas pussy. They ain't used to giving pussy because that pussy gonna be everybody's business, Kalani. No. Not for YG. Your baby daddy look better than YG. No, 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 no. I heard that you was gang, 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 not the type to save, save, save her. And you said you knew yourself. Come on now. No, no, not for YG. Wearing white socks with black shoes. Kalani, you're too cute for this. A faux gang member. Like, it stresses me out. Whew. But then she tweeted that I write songs. I'm gonna read the exact tweet. Then Kalani, right before I was about to go in, right before I was about to lose my cool, Kalani tweeted, I make love songs. Songs about old love, new love, bad love, good love, love I should have never known, love I wish I could. That's just me. Love is so commonly written about because it's the strongest life force besides God. And even then, God is love. We are all lovers, good or bad. So once I saw that tweet, I was like, okay, let me fall back. I'm not going to assume that all these songs are about YG. I'm just not. But just let it be known. Kehlani, you in LA. No, 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 no. You're too cute for this. Okay. Then, Belong to the Streets skit, which I felt like was perfect because, like I said at the beginning of this, I love Mixa Kehlani, but I want her to keep her business out the street. This skit proved to me that Kehlani is just not around a bunch of yes people and that she does have friends and people close in her life that are telling her the truth. That, yeah, once you put it out on the internet or once you post it, it's everybody's business. You the one told us. So don't be mad when we asking about it or when we got questions or when people want to talk about it because you told us. You could have kept it to yourself. So I like that. The skit flows perfectly into the Everybody's Business song that was also a single. Like, it's not a lot more to be said. Then we go into Hate the Club featuring Mace Gov. Now, I really, really like this song. I think it's a beautiful song. But, like I said before I read the tweet, I assumed on first listen that this song was about YG, and I immediately got upset. Kehlani, what did I say on Twitter? I said, Kehlani, Tsunami, Ashley Parrish, you better not be staying in that nice house hiding. Not going to the club, not going to events, not going to five-star restaurants. In the city of Los Angeles, the city people dying, moving from Kansas and Iowa, getting on buses to come down here in, and you already done made it. And you hiding from somebody that, like I said, wears white socks with black shoes. No, Kehlani. No, it's unacceptable. You used to date Kyrie Irving. You dated Party Next Door. You dated Javi, your baby daddy Javi. And they all look better than this man YG. I know Kyrie got more money than this man YG. I don't know about Party's pockets. But I'm just saying. You're out here in the city of angels. Okay? I'm sure it's a Laker. I'm sure it's a Clipper. Now we got the Rams that want to take you out and treat you nice, Kehlani. Okay, want to tell you about the astrology chart, all that, their birth chart. Do not for 24 hours, be in your house sad about this man. This dick ain't free YG. It don't make no sense. If I lived in your neighborhood, I'll call the police on you. I'll have them do a quality assurance check. Because no. If you feel like you about to start crying for YG, you need to get that tear, you need to put it in there, and you need to drink it because he is not worth it. Are you crazy? You're too cute for this. Hate the Club, beautiful song, great song. Damn, you know I hate the club. That's not me, but I get it. Sad girl, when you be in your feelings. But me, my feelings, I want to turn up because I'm not about to be sad over nobody because I feel like these niggas don't be sad over me, they don't be sad over you, so what am I going to be sad for? I can cry in the club. I ain't about to stay in this house. Looking ugly in my pajamas? No. Beyonce, freakum dress. I'm out. We gonna hit the street. Whew. Thank God for my daddy. Too much player inside me to be inside sad over somebody I can't. Mm-mm. Then, just when I thought she simped too hard, she came back with Serial Lover. Okay? Love hard, fuck harder. Serial Lover. Need to recover. The song. Now, I like this song. This song gives me, like, Brandy and Dark Child. Do you remember that time? And it also just made me think. I don't know anything personally about Dark Child because they were from the time of they just did music and we didn't know about people's personal life. But if I had Dark Child on LinkedIn or if I had an email address for him, I would contact him and I would send him this Kehlani album and I would say that I really, really need you to come out of, like, semi-retirement or whatever it is that you're doing and dig up some of those beats that maybe you tried to make for Destiny's Child and them and they didn't want them and send those to Kehlani's house because she's going to make hits. Unadulterated hits. Because this is her vibe. Kehlani gave me Brandy on this song, on another song too, but Dark Child, she needs you. Also, after listening to this, I felt like Kehlani could be Timbaland's new Aaliyah. I know people don't like to do the news, so no, let me not say that. But Kehlani could be Timbaland's Kehlani, and they can make beautiful music together. the 90s sound, those beats and all that, it just, like, she just wiggles in there, and that's her zone. Like, that's her natural habitat. 90s super producers, send all your things to Kalani's Google Drive, please. Then we got, what is it? F and M U, but really it stands for fucking makeup. We just fucking makeup like it's Maybelline. We do crazy things, or we do petty things that mess up the sheets. Can light a sex fire when you in your feels. And Q Song, love the song. I love to drive to it. When she's like, ain't no cap, 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 I make you, why I gotta fuck you up to make you fuck like that. I love this song. But this is crazy girl music. We covered that topic many times on the show. Crazy girl music. This is that Meg Thee Stallion, I piss you off, then get mad when you leave. Like, no, we're not gonna do that. And maybe that's just me personally, but I don't like games. You're not about to yell and scream at me and think we're about to have sex. I will kick you out. Don't touch me. Didn't you just have an attitude? Keep that same energy. I'm not with the crazy girl, the roller coaster love. I don't want that. I need my love to be like a stream, like a river, steady and flowing and just, we're not going to do that up and down. You can take me up and down, I'm going to leave you. Up and down, I'm going to go out the side door. No. Fucking make up, cute song, do not apply that to your life. And then Can You Blame Me featuring Lucky Day. Y'all know I love Lucky Day on this show. Said it umpteen times. You think I'm gonna leave, but I'm never gonna switch sides. Lucky Day is so bomb. Just, and then them two together, great sound. Just, it's like butter. And I'm really, really waiting for the full Lucky Day project. Like, I want another one. So please, Lucky Day, when you have time. I know you've been on quarantine. I know you've been inside, like wearing cute button-up shirts and chinos and no shoes. Wear the songs, Lucky Day. I need you. Don't let me down. Okay, but that Can You Blame Me fire song. Then we got Grieving featuring James Blake. This is a cool song. It's more of a somber. It's probably the most somber song on the album. But it's very, very real. And for whatever reason, through all of these songs, like the common thread, and like I said, I don't want to assume that she's talking about YG, but I just got to go off of what I got. Because both of those people had fresh babies at the time that their relationship started, I think there was a lot of baby talk with these two. For whatever reason, I think that YG was like telling Kehlani all the time he wants to have a baby by her. Like maybe he was even saying it when they was having sex, he was trying to have. And specifically sons. Because son keeps coming up. Even in the part of the diss tapes, she was like, I hope you have the son you wanted with the bitch. And now all these songs, she's like, you want me to make you a senior? In Grieving, she's like, you want me to stay here, mother all your sons now? This shit ain't no fun now. Like, yeah, because that's what. And I don't want to be cynical, but again, I was raised by very player people. That's what the average man wants. He wants to take some cute popping girl off the scene and throw her in the house and ignore her. Like, make her do the undesirable work. And then be looking at her, oh, you're not fun. Oh, you don't want to go nowhere. You don't want to do nothing. Like, because I got these four kids now that I got to take care of because of you. It just. But Grieving, cool song. If you're sad, go listen to that. And then my absolute favorite song, even though I Love Me Some Water, Can I, and Serial Lover, like those, all four of these songs have been already integrated into the TAM personal playlist. But this Open Passionate is my song, okay? And it is so much my song that I have something like, it's just my song. Okay, so she starts with a song. 3 a.m. in Vegas, all day been faded. Like, you're on tour in and out them stadiums, and this bitch is backstage trying to upstage me. What am I gonna do? And she's like, what if you slip up? What if tequila grabs your neck and say, don't bitch up? What if you wanna shoot your shot and load the clip up? Are you scared to lose your queen and get a bishop? Or do I got you way too open to be open? Wow. I told y'all the lyricism is incredible. Kalani is more in that rap sing bag, like that Destiny Child bugaboo bag, because it's very hard to differentiate when she's giving bars and when she's just singing, because they're all coming out with that angelic voice. But this Open Passionate was really, really about the bars. And then for her part, which that's why I like the song, because it's, I think it's like so on the money for our time, like especially in relationship situations. You got the man over here, and he thinks that he's the only one that, like, faces temptation and wants to have fun and wants to turn up and blah, blah, blah. And you got the girl over here why can't I be on that same thing? I'm just as young as you. I'm just as turned up as you. I got as much money as you. Why would I not have the same problem as you. Like, what do you think is so special about you that I don't hold it down for you, but you think that you're just occupying all of my thoughts? All no. So second verse, Kalani comes out. I'm in AOD trying to stay low key. Shorty so lit, it's like she praying on me. What if I took it to the private, let her be my pilot? How should I know what to do? What if I slip up? What if tequila grabs my neck and say, don't bitch up? What if I want to shoot my shot and load the clip up? Would you kick it, or are you going to play the victim? Because remember what you was on. Or do you got me way too open to be open? And that's really what it's about. Both people are in a relationship. Are we so on each other that we not worried about nobody else, that we don't see nobody else? Or is this just, it is what it is. We just kicking it. We just doing what feels good for the moment. Because if we doing what feels good for the moment, when you're out, I'm going to do me. And when I'm out, you're going to do you. And it is what it is. Perfect. And then switch the flow, switch the beat, and goes to passionate. Made it out the mud, but still is cleanly. Pull up where I'm from and they respect me. Like, just a great song, perfect song. I love it. Please go listen to Open Passionate. And then the album closes out with Lexi's outro. Lexi was a friend of Kalani's and a friend of a lot of entertainers. She passed away a few months ago. It was all over social media and Twitter. Lexi was an up-and-coming rapper herself. I'm not that familiar with her music, but when she passed away, people were sharing a lot of it, and it is very good. So this last track on the album is like a freestyle, and I think, like, it was so special because, for one, Kalani wants to pay, like, a tribute to her friend. Second thing is, everything she's saying in the freestyle was, like, so on the money and on target for, like, what maybe Kalani needed to hear during her trials and tribulations in her relationship, but kind of can't hear it from her girl no more because she's not here. And I think it was a great way to both pay tribute to your friend without, like, sacrificing the integrity and the sound of the album. It still was on subject matter. It was on. So just great job. Beautiful job. People are saying this is her best album yet. I agree, even though I loved all the others and the mixtapes. This is just more of a complete sound. I really feel like Kalani is, like, coming to her own with that, and is very comfortable with, like, her bag and what she, like, wants to talk about, her delivery even. Love it. I saw that she opened her own production company because during coronavirus, like the quarantine, she couldn't do things how they would typically do it, obviously, because of cast and crew and all that. So I think it's called Honey Shot Productions. And there's a whole thread on Twitter talking about how she started it by doing the Toxic video in her room. And then she shot another one in her kitchen. She did Open Passionate somewhere out in the woods. And it's like, so she's making it happen for herself. So I really like that. I see Teyana Taylor with her The Auntie's production, now Kalani with hers. And I think that in the space of videography, filmmaking, all of that, is very important to have women in positions of power. So we'll see if Kalani branches out like Teyana Taylor did and starts producing videos for other people post-quarantine. Oh, lastly, on the It Was Good Until It Wasn't, the cover art. The cover art was a very, very big deal because she released the front cover and it was like her looking over the fence somewhere else. Like, you know, the grass is sort of greener type of thing. And then on the flip side, it showed the what was actually behind Kalani, and it was utter chaos. Bombs went off and all that. And it's like, I think it's very poignant, especially for our time, because with social media and all that, you think that you have a window into somebody's life and you kind of feel like you know them, especially with business and getting leaked about them and all that, but you don't. And you never really know what a person is going through. So it's like, nobody had any reason to assume that on Kalani's side of the yard, everything wasn't all good and she was just like trying to be thirsty for something more, when really on her side, shit was crazy. So It Was Good Until It Wasn't. Great album. I hope that you receive a Grammy nom for this because you really deserve it. And everybody run the streams up. I know I am. And congratulations, Kalani. I think you got a good one with this one. Might go platinum. We have the Isolation tapes that came out by Mahalia. I love Mahalia's voice. She is from the UK. And this Isolation tapes only had 3 songs on it, but I assume like it was made during quarantine and all that. Great songs. BRB is like her song about her relationship, because she's always gone because of her job. And she's like, I spend most of my life between you and a red eye. Very cute song. Then Plastic Plants. Love Plastic Plants. Because she's like, if your roses is dead and your violets ain't true, I don't want to grow next to you. Like, I thought you loved me. All I got was plastic plants. And she's like, if this is Hollywood, it would be different. And I think a lot of girls relate to that, because you grow up with like your ideal of love based on what you see on TV and with other people and all this. And you don't really know that it's literally 2 people trying their best to make something work that's probably unnatural to them. So Plastic Plants, very cute song. And then we got Too Nice, which is like, for whatever reason, the song reminds me of the movie Honey. And I think it's like the beat and the feel and all that. Love it. Great chorus. It's very catchy. I learned the song, I feel like, after two listens. And it just, it belongs in a movie. Like, Issa Rae put this in Insecure on one of your fun dating scene things. But this song belongs in a romantic comedy. Like, this song belongs in Hitch. So, great job, Mahalia. Can't wait to see when you put out a full project. And I would really, really love to hear you on tour because I love your voice. So, I'd like to see you live and see how your show is as well. Then, we got FTCU by Zonique. And I just said on the last show, we were talking about Ben Hunt and Izzy's song, Vibes or Dream Doll. I don't know what happened to Zonique. She was making music and then she disappeared. Clearly, Zonique been in the lab. She been chilling because, like we said, she don't need the money. She going to the studio when she bored. She ain't got nothing to do at the house. She's putting out these bangers. And FTCU stands for Fuck the Club Up. Great song. It's a bounce music song. So this summer in New Orleans, if they let us outside, it's going to be lit. I see that she's trying to get like a TikTok challenge type thing going with it. I think that she could really ride this song out and this could end up being a hit for Zonique or the thing that like puts her on the map as a serious R&B girl. I think that all she's missing is like a little rap on the song. There's a part where the like it sounds like Big Frida's voice and that is where the rap could go. And you... Like, she made a reference to Lil Wayne and the song. She's a single for the night and I just want to go out. So, get your uncle on this song. Because your daddy is T.I. Like, I know you got a lot of connections. I don't think it necessarily... You already tried the Young Thug thing. I don't necessarily think it has to be somebody young. I think you need somebody good that's going to slide on this song and, like, take you up to hit status. Like Nicki did with Joja on Say So. Shout out to them being number one. So, Zonique, please, 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 please. Get together with your friends, get in the mansion, make a music video for Fuck the Club Up, and just ride this song out because I think you have all the tools, all the talent, everything at your disposal to be a legendary R&B singer, but we just need you to like work, you know, be a little consistent. I know it's hard because you got money and it's hard to go hard at someone when you don't need anything. So I care about you. I like your music. I need you to carve out your own legendary status in that family. Because your mama, legend. Escape, No Scrubs, T.I., come on now, Urban Legend, T.I., Trap King, all that. Zonique, carve out your lane. Because it's there for you, girl. You got it. You got all the tools. You know you got all the tools, too. Also, I think Zonique needs to get in the studio with The Dream. The Dream will lay a hit on you, girl. The Dream, Rico Love, Go walk on down there. They don't live in the same neighborhoods, okay? Take the fancy car down there to The Dream. Take some cookies or something over there for those kids. Get yourself a hit. Because you got it, Zonique. You got the look. You got the talent. You got... Just do it. You just need a hit. This Fuck the Club Up, though. It's one. It's cooking. Get that verse on there, that rap verse. Bet you be on the chart. Then we have Pretty Ricky out with the new song called Body. Now, this is the original Pretty Ricky. This is Slick'em, Baby Blue, Spectac and Pleasure P. I don't know what they did with them other kids, but I'm glad that they took them back to the daddy house. This is a remake of My Body All Over Your Body, LaVert, with Pretty Ricky. Great song. It's kind of weird because they're all older, and I grew up with the My Body, Your Body, Pretty Ricky, like when they were all young, so it's kind of weird to see them older, but I'm older too, so who am I? Cool song, very cute. I'm interested to see their follow-up with it. Like, are they going to stay in that sort of Miami sex song type of thing, or are they going to branch out and do other things now that they're older? I'm not mad, but Body is very much old Pretty Ricky bag, but just with a new spin, so go check them out. And then last but not least, we got Pretty MF by Ruby Rose. The video is out. The song been out for a while, but now the video is out. Go check it out. Go run up the numbers for Ruby Rose. I think Ruby Rose, again, is another one who has all the tools to be a rap superstar. She has the looks. She has her voice tone is so bomb. Like, she just, it makes her rap sound just, it's kind of unexplainable, but perfect voice, body, swag, all that, killing it. She is another one who, like Kalani, just needs to keep her goddamn business out the street. Ruby Rose, okay, girl, we talking to the camera. Ruby Rose, I know that you real, real fine. I know that you real young. Sometimes it gets dicey when you're young. You might not be a hoe, but sometimes you make a whole decision. Do not let these boys play you out. I'm calling them boys because ain't none of them men. Because look at how they acting. Look at the activity. This boy activity. I don't care how much money he got. Ruby Rose, do not let them take advantage of you. Do not let them, don't let them get over on you. Do not let them try to make you look crazy, make you play you out. Don't let them Iggy Azalea you, girl. You too cute for that. And your mom, and you African, so I know you know better. Don't let the flattery and all that go to your head. Because no, they don't deserve it. Of course you, look at you. Of course they want to be with you. No. What are you willing to do? You willing to hold it down? You willing to keep it quiet? If you really like me, you don't need to tell nobody. You don't need to post me. And I know it gets hard between that influencer, musician thing because the checks is coming in and it's hard. Your personal business, no more. Ruby Rose, we, the public, we do not deserve to know who you're dating or who you're romantically involved with until you marry a person. I want you to Beyonce this thing. If this nigga really love you, sit in the back seat and hide your face. No more. Because you have literally all the tools, Ruby Rose. Like, wow. This video was so fire, even though it was like, you could tell that it was made in the one spot. You don't need all of that. Keep that drama out. Even if a man is fine. I don't care if it was Davies. I think Davies is so bomb. Oh, my God. Even if it's Davies trying to give you drama. No, girl. No. Davies, meet me in the basement. You want to go? You want to have dinner? Have the restaurant cater at the apartment, at the mansion. I'm not going out with none of y'all no more. I'm not going to be seen out with none of y'all. My influencer bag is going to be about me. My money, my thing is going to be about me. And I'll figure it out. We're not making no money, no moves off the relationship stuff. You're too good for it, Ruby. No. Pretty MF, okay? Lavish ass life with a mansion and a boat, nigga. Cap ass, wild ass, flexing ass, broke niggas. No, Ruby Rose. No. I want to see you elevation. I want to see you Little Kim status. I want to see you a retreating Nicki Minaj, okay? I need you up there. I need you in a mansion. I need your mama to have chained industry, okay, Ruby? No more games. No more relationship stuff. I want music only. And you're super cute. So if you want to sweetie this thing, okay, and get some Pretty Little Thing collaboration, all that stuff, go ahead. But the boys, unless somebody give you a ring this big, then you introduce him to us. If he don't got it, then we don't need to know him. You don't need to know him either. And then the last thing for 106 in Parking Lot is like a music suggestion, a musical outreach, if you will. I saw a tweet by the great Suki Hanna. I support Suki Hanna, follow her. I believe she's on Love and Hip Hop now. I don't watch, but I see her posting about it. I think she is. So shout out to Suki for being on the rise. She suggested, and let me read her tweet directly. Can y'all tell Boosie Official he's one of my favorite rappers? I throw the most money when they playing his song They Dyking in strip clubs out in Florida. I just want him to give me a feature, damn. Lil Boosie. Suki Hanna is like a fan. And she came from the bottom like you, Boosie. I know you understand the struggle. Suki is trying to put her family on all that, just like you and all your kids. She's trying. She's not a nobody. She got plenty of songs out. Boosie, I don't know if you got something that she can hop on or if you're willing to grace her with a verse on one of her songs. Don't matter. But Boosie, please, check out Suki. Get in the mix. Give her a feature. I want you and Suki to do something like Gucci and Megan did with Big Booty. But like more ratchet because that's y'all's vibe. And Suki has all the tools, okay? She's got the body. She's got the homegirls, everything. Y'all can get something popping down there. Boosie, you got a big ass house. It can be coronavirus approved. This music video and this song. Make this happen, Boosie. I know you got something in there. I know you've been locked inside. I know you've been working on stuff. I know you're a businessman too. So come on. The young Suki, help her out. Get her up. We need Suki to have the elevation that Cardi B had, okay? Because she's same background, story, all that. She's full of personality. We need you to push Suki up so she can rise up out and rise above and be the rap superstar that she needs to be, okay, Boosie? And you could be a help, a ladder step in that. And then you'll be part of the great legacy. Seeing it happen this week with the two girls on the top of the charts. We got Doja and Nicki, number one spot on Billboard with Say So Remix. I told y'all, so I'm not even going to go into it because I told y'all Doja is that one. We've been talking about that. And then we got Beyonce and Megan that we talked about last week in the number two spot. First time in Billboard history, four black women occupying the top spots. So, you see what can be done when we work together. And that's it for 106 and Parking Lot. We're going to go over to the Chevy playlist, the songs that I give you to ride to during the week when we're not together. And this week, we're going to start off with Open, Passionate by Kalani, because I told you that's my jam. And when you listen to it, I think you understand. Two, we got Flawless, Do It Well by Division featuring Summer Walker. Flawless, you a boss chick song. Number three is Crush by Soli Had and Melly. Very cute, vibey song. Love me some Melly. I saw her on tour with Meek Mill. Super high energy, very unique sound. New York girl. Soli Had, never heard of him, but together on that song, it's a party song. Can't wait for summer so I can drive around, whip around, wear cute outfits to it, dance to it. Four, we got My Business, Nav featuring Future. Nav has a whole new project out. I didn't review it here because, like, that's not my vibe. A lot of the songs sound the same, and I don't want to criticize Nav because I like him. But some of the songs are cool, so I'll sprinkle them into my playlist here and there. And this week, we got the collab with Future. Nav, great job on the project. And last but not least on the Chevy playlist, we got Blizzard Talk by my friend Ice Chili. Now, I grew up with this person. I feel like he was born to be a rapper. He sent me a bunch of his music that's like unreleased and stuff that he's still working on. I like it a lot. And this is just like the first in a bunch of stuff to come. So I wanted to get him out here so y'all are like familiar with him. So when the other stuff comes, you don't feel like he's some type of SoundCloud nobody rapper. He's really out here, Ice Chili, making things happen. Blizzard Talk is the song. Now, my favorite song by Ice Chili, and it's not on Apple Music, that's why I didn't put it on this list, but I think it might be on SoundCloud, and it's I Like My Bitches Cold. So, Ice Chili, on the rise. Check them out. Go support. Stream. The Chevy playlist is available on Apple Music, YouTube, and if you would like me to put it anywhere else, please let me know, and I will do that. And as you know, I love to close out the show every week with a positive quote because life is crazy. And this week I have a quote from James Clear from one of the books that I really, really love called Atomic Habits. And I have this quote like posted around my house, so I really believe in it. It is, you do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. Again, you do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. And to me, that means I can set all these goals. I can write out a list. I can make a vision board. I can call myself manifesting. But if I don't put any things in place to change my habits, to implement new habits, to make steps to things, I'm never going to get there. No matter how really hard I try, because I have not changed at all what I'm doing on the regular basis to sort of make that more plausible. So, create some systems, because that's what's going to stick with you. Goals is dreams without no plan. So come on. Rise. Don't forget, it's not always about, I got to know everything I want to do. It's about creating habits, creating systems to make those things kind of happen naturally for yourself. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for watching. Please like, share, subscribe, comment. Check out the Chevy playlist. Follow all the girls from Look of the Week. And drop some comments and stuff with me on social media. Follow me at Tam Not Tammy on all social. Buy something from my Depop. And see y'all next time. Bye.